Church. Father God, we come to you on another Sabbath day to remember it and to acknowledge that you have set it aside for our purpose of resting and honoring you because you rested on the seventh day. And we just seek for our understanding of your word on today. Just lead and guide us in all truth. And we bless you for all that you do. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen. All right. There are some things that I want to discuss on today. Yah has been leading me as I write specific things. Lately, he's been leading me to just kind of teach on those things that I write. And this is another one that I'm going to do today. And I titled it Not Kidding Around. There are some things that we're coming into continued understanding of some things, and as a result of it, there are some things that I'm starting to realize, and I even see other men that I've run into. I was in a very important conference call on yesterday. The ball is really moving forward in a lot of ways, and so in this very important conference call, and we all had the same conclusion, but they were seeking for an answer of why things are the way that they are. And what I love about these men is we all have different gifts, whereby Yah, I'm going to say this for lack of a better word to express it, whereby Yah has specialized us in a specific area. And when these brothers get to talk, and I learn a lot from these brothers, and there are things that obviously they learn from me. Because of what I'm gifted in, my gift is to, I guess, because I walk in the office of a shepherd, based upon our nation, a king. Because I walk in that office, then there are things that that Yah deal with me on from a perspective of unsealing the scriptures, whereas there are things that they may understand concerning the scriptures, and they may quote scriptures and things like that, but Yah has given me the gift to link the scriptures that people quote and to put those, put them in their proper places. And so one of the things that was asked, they felt like there was no answer to, and obviously, again, from the linking of the scripture, the answer was just simple to me. They asked, they was like, man, you know, here we are in a situation where we have been awakened by the Spirit of Yah, we've been awakened by the Spirit of Yah, but the majority of the nation of Israel is still asleep. And it's very frustrating to a lot of these guys because they try to share things that they understand. And it seems to be rejected. Well, my experience has been a little bit different. People don't reject the things that I say. It's like what I get from people is that they are intimidated about the things that I speak and write about. And that's because of the linking, the gift that I've been given to link things together to the point to where they know it's the truth. It's just that they're intimidated by it from a perspective of like what Miriam and Aaron did concerning Moses, where their mindset was like, okay, you know who you think you are, kind of deal, to say these things to us. Although we know they're true, we can see that they're true because they're precept upon precept, and there's no room for error or for us to critique anything because you just covered the information in so much detail. So what I told him was this. I said, well, I said, we have to understand that that is a fulfillment of the scripture. So we can't get frustrated that that the nation of Israel, the majority, is not accepting things that we're saying because that's the scripture being fulfilled. I said, so what has enabled me to deal with this, and not be frustrated is that I know that only the remnant will hear what I'm saying. I'm not called to all Israel. I'm called to the remnant. And what I mean by that, I will release information to all Israel, but my divine calling is to prepare the remnant because I understand that not all Israel will be saved. Okay? Go ahead.
It's no different than Jesus' day and all of the prophets' day.
Exactly.
It's always been the same.
Exactly. And so, even from the perspective of what Alan just said concerning Jesus, Jesus went to all Israel. But at the same time, he said in Matthew 23 and verse 37, he's like, okay, you kill a prophet, you know, and he was letting them know in a nutshell that their house would be left desolate because they would be scattered to the four corners of the earth and Jerusalem would be trodden down underfoot, you know, by the Gentiles. And so when I shared that with them, it was very encouraging, you know, to them from that perspective because they had never looked at it from that angle. Now, they knew the scriptures. As soon as I said that, it's like, man, you're right because this is what the scripture says. And so they knew it, but it was difficult to link the scriptures and things like that. So they knew. But it was just difficult for them to link together to line up with the conversation. So it's the same way. People have heard the gospel, and that's a good thing. And so I'll just read from what I write, and then we'll go into the lesson. Again, it's Tyler, I'm not kidding around. I say, I remember back in the day when we used to play sandlot football. We just hiked the ball to the quarterback, and everyone would take off running in all directions with the hopes of finding an open spot so that Stan, who was our quarterback at the time, so that Stan could throw us the ball. And that was okay, and that's what I was living on. And that was okay at the time. It was okay that we were playing sandlot football because it had its purpose. It taught us some fundamental principles. From playing sandlot football, it taught us how to catch, it taught us how to run, you know, run and put moves on people and different things like that. So it had its place in our life. It was necessary. Sandlot football was necessary. Okay, so again, I said that was okay at the time because it taught us the fundamentals of how to catch and run fast. It taught us all those skills of the one-on-one and, you know, everybody was trying to cover a specific man, and because there was no time frame, we run around forever until we got open. And so it got us accustomed to having to stick with that individual if he was on defense or if he was on offense, you had to keep trying to hustle until you find your spot. And it wasn't just, you know, a handful of us, man. At the time, it may be 30 or 40 of us out there on the sandlot field. It'd be a lot of us playing, and so... So it was kind of difficult to find your spot to catch the ball because everybody was everywhere. But it developed us to a certain extent. And but I go on to say, but the first time that we learned the true fundamentals, we learned some fundamentals, but I'm talking about the true fundamentals that caused us to really know how to play football. The first time that we learned the true fundamentals of football was from one of my favorite teachers of all time. She's my PE teacher. Named Miss Jackson. Miss Jackson was something else, boy. She taught us how to play football. She taught us how to play basketball. She taught us how to run track. And it's certain things they do still in my hometown to this day as a result of this woman. They still have the league. I mean, we were in a tournament. We were in a tournament against one another as early as third grade. Third grade, we were competing against one another on an official basketball court. In the third grade, we competed against one another. And I mean, we'd have some serious games. Did the same thing in football. We would play football at halftime. They let us come out. We'd be all dressed up in our little stuff, and we'd play football at halftime. So while halftime were going, we'd get out there and play. And, halftime, I'm talking about high school game. They let us get out there and play at halftime. So we was used to that level of competing in front of an audience like that. And so, I mean, we just used to love it. And but as far as track was concerned, she had everybody running from kindergarten all the way up, to where they actually got the age where we could participate in organized sport. I think it was about sixth grade where you actually played against other teams from other towns and things like that. But from the kindergarten to the fifth grade, she had these things going for us as athletes, and it developed us really well. Okay, so in other words, she was the first one that taught us the true fundamental principles of playing football. She taught us how to strategically run plays in order to score a touchdown. She was like, don't just run around. You got to do a specific thing, learn as a running back. Tyrone, you're a receiver. You got to do a specific thing as a receiver. Stan, you're a quarterback. You got to read what they do, and you got to know what everybody's doing, and you got to be able to throw them the ball. She's the first one that taught us that. Like, oh, wait a minute. You mean I can't just run all over the place until I get open? No, you run to this specific spot, and you stop right here and turn around, and he's going to get the ball to you, And so she taught us these fundamentals, okay? Again, she taught us how to strategically run plays in order to score a touchdown. And those fundamentals eventually enabled that same group of boys to have the number one ranked offense in the state of Texas. When I was a senior, we had the number one ranked offense in the state of Texas, period. From the state of Texas, you name any school in the state of Texas, we had the best offense in the state of Texas when I was a senior. Well, those things happen as a result of us learning fundamentals from this woman. But at the same time, it would not happen, though being the number one ranked offense in the state of Texas, it would not have happened if we had not advanced. She taught us some stuff, but we couldn't stay there and become the number one ranked offense in the state of Texas. We had to advance at a high level of athleticism, and then we had to go beyond the fundamentals that she taught. She taught us certain things, but we had to take it higher in order to become that type of football team that had an offense like that. We used to tell people that, when we showed up for a football game, we had on track shoes because it was going to be a track meet because you're going to see some running up and down the field all night long. You had a quarterback who was a blue chipper, and I was a blue chipper. We were two elite athletes coming out of that area that was recognized by, as a blue chipper, being two of the best athletes in the United States on the same team. And so we were elite athletes. Now, with that understanding, it works the same way with the Bible. Okay? All of us, each one of us, and this was what I shared with the brothers and I want to show with y'all, I was like, okay, all of us have been taught fundamental things that has caused us to believe in Jesus. All of us have. And that's a good thing. I think about the things that I learned from my pastor when I was a kid. As I continue to grow, and even when I start preaching, I think about the things that I learned from that pastor. And then when I got with my pastor, who's currently still my pastor, there are things that I learned from him, certain concepts, certain ways that he operated. There are things that I learned from him that they are a good thing. They were a good thing because it got me to this point. It had to be an origin or a fundamental somewhere for me to start advancing to get to this level now where Yah said, I can deal with you myself now. Okay. So I thank Yah for those fundamental principles that I learned back then, and I praise Him to the Most Highest for Him grabbing me and teaching me and bringing me to where I am now, and I'm still growing. Okay. Now, again, all of us have been taught these fundamental things that has called us to believe in Jesus, and that's good, but it becomes a problem when we refuse to advance to high levels of understanding because we have grown so accustomed to hearing the fundamental thing. It amazes me how many people understand something that has worked in the past, but they're so caught up in the word work that they refuse to advance to something better in order to become greater at what little thing they used and worked at the time. People hate growth. People hate, you know, and I used to say this, but Yah has corrected me on it. He won't allow me to get away with saying this anymore because in reality what I was saying is I hate growth. I used to always say this. I used to say, you know what, man, I hate change. I used to say, I hate change, man. I'm so, you know, I get used to doing things a specific way, and when something comes along that makes me have to change, I used to be like, man, I hate change. But then I used to always say this, but I'll do it when it becomes necessary. I said, man, I hate change. And all of us, if we admit, there are some things that we've grown accustomed to doing, and Yah is requiring us to grow from that, but because we're so used to it and become accustomed to it, we hate the change. So most of us either just stay with it and stick with it and believe Yah for the change someday, or we'll say, you know, someday, you know, this is going to happen, or someday Yah is going to do this or do that, but we go from day after day, year after year, you know, month after month, you know, however you want to put it, in the same thing, because in reality, what the bottom line is we hate growth. We don't like to grow. Because growth can be painful at times. John 15 said, every branch in me that bear fruit, he said, I purge it, that it may bring forth more fruit. When a tree, we as the branches that belongs to the vine, which is Christ, and Yah is the husbandman, he's the one that's over the whole garden, so to speak. Jesus let us know, he was like, okay, you know, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He said, but if you're in me, I purge you. I take things off that's not necessary. Everything that has been put in your life, in our life, that hinders us from being what we've already been destined to be, he said, I'll cut that off so that you can bear the fruit, bear more fruit of what I've called you to be. See, we have, through the fundamental principles, started to grow, but Yah is saying, but I have to continue to take out stuff as you grow because it is necessary to bring about the full manifestation of what you've been ordained to be, what we've been ordained to be, what we've been born to be by Yah. Okay? Remember Jeremiah 1 said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Okay, I ordained thee a prophet. There are things that we have all been ordained, we've been born to do, but through these experiences, certain fundamentals, we have learned things a certain way, and Yah is saying, once you get to that certain point, then I start to make adjustments to take those things out of your life because it is a hindrance now. It becomes a problem to our destiny, and so he starts to remove those things, but because we're so comfortable with what we're accustomed to, what we're used to, we have a tendency to fight Yah and refuse to grow. Okay? Now, again, well, they understand it, but it becomes a problem when we refuse to advance to a higher level of understanding because we have grown accustomed to hearing the fundamental things. All of us, for one reason or another, have gotten comfortable doing a specific thing a specific way. And when changes come, or when change is revealed, we have a tendency to fight it because we think that individual is trying to attack us because they're taking away our fundamental way of how we do things. So we have a tendency to fight everything. You know, it's like, again, it's like, you know, taking medicine. You know, when I used to, you know, I still to this day hate taking medicine in it. And if you don't, you're not careful, you try to make me, you know, take something because I'm feeling really bad, I might have a tendency to try to fight you because I'm accustomed to feeling a certain way and doing things a certain way to make me feel better. But when that's not working, then I'm given something else, but I fight it because I'm used to getting well this way. Because I don't get sick often. Okay? Now, as we move on into this, we go into 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll start at verse 1 in order to get in the meat of this lesson on today. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, he starts out saying, he starts out saying in 1 Peter 2, verse 1, he says, wherefore, laying aside all malice. Lay aside all malice. When you look at malice, it basically, in a nutshell, is evil. It's trouble. Okay? So lay aside all malice and all guile. Guile has to do with trickery. Okay? Deceit. He said hypocrisy, which is, in a nutshell, it has to do with deceit, but it's in reference as far as, you know, condemnation is concerned. So a person is a hypocrite when they come across as being one thing. I just use it for as a simple form to explain it. A person is a hypocrite when they come across being one way, but in reality they're another. They're being a hypocrite, you know. And so it says, and envy, you know, when you look at envy, in a nutshell, it has to do with spite. It said all evil speaking. Then it says here what we want to be. It says, as newborn babes now, desire the sincere milk of the word. Now, when you deal with sincere, it means, in a nutshell, it's undeceitful, unadulterated. There's nothing that's associated with the sincere milk that will lead us astray. And that's what the church has gotten away from. The church has gotten away from the sincere milk of the word. And that's why there's no growth taking place. So it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere, undeceitful, sincere milk of the word. Why? That ye may grow thereby. When the word is preached without deceit, precept upon precept, line upon line, the way we discuss always, you know, we use Isaiah 28:10 as kind of our foundation for this concept of understanding. When we teach it precept upon precept, line upon line, that sincere milk of the word causes all of us to grow. But the issue is now, when we get away from the sincere milk of the word, and now we're teaching the words that have deceit associated with it. Yes, the Bible, it's just that it's deceitful. It's the apostasy that Paul talked about in Thessalonians. It is apostasy, the falling away, that caused the falling away of the saints, not because they necessarily wanted to, but the falling away was from the perspective of the truth, of the sincere milk. And so there was because of that, people stopped growing. And so we thought that growth had to do with the church size. We didn't realize that growth was from a perspective of quality. We thought growth was from a perspective of quantity. The more people we saw in a place, we thought that was a ministry that was growing. But yet, when we look at Yah's perspective as far as growth is concerned, he just said, you know, he lets us know where there are two or three, he's gathered together in the midst of it if we are operating in spirit and in truth. And so it can be one, two, three of us. It can be a small group of us, but if we lay out or operate within the sincere milk of the word, we will all grow. This is the issue with the church. People don't want to grow. Again, it says, as newborn babes, desire to sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby. If so be that ye have tasted, and I like that word, tasted, because anytime you taste something, you've experienced it. Okay? If I taste a piece of candy, then now I have experienced that candy. Whatever we taste, it lets us know, or it comes about from an understanding, especially specifically with the scripture, when you taste them. That's why the Bible says, taste and see that Jehovah is good. Experience him. You don't mean that you go out, man, you go to kissing on Jesus. No, the scripture is letting us experience Yah, experience him. Position ourselves whereby we can experience his goodness. That's taste. Okay? He says, again, verse 3, if so be, ye have tasted, experienced that Jehovah is gracious, morally good. Okay? In other words, if we have positioned ourselves to experience Yah, then the scripture tells us that we shouldn't just stay there. We shouldn't just stay with the altar experience. Because that was necessary to a certain extent. That was a fundamental that got us all to where we are now. We all came to the altar maybe at one time or another, or stood up at one time or another and said, yeah, I do want to be saved. I do believe in Jesus. That's a fundamental principle that had its place in our life, and it was relevant in our life because it has brought us to this point. If we had not done it, all of us wouldn't be here right now. So it had its place. But what Yah intended for us to do, you remember how he has taught us. He said, precept upon precept, line upon line. He said, okay, I got him to the altar. But now, since I've gotten to the altar, I want to lay out other layers of the scripture, the sensitive milk of the word, so that they can grow and realize that it's really not by the altar experience that determines the salvation of an individual. But growth is the only thing that brings us to that understanding. Other than that, everybody be just thinking all they got to do is run to the altar, and it's a done deal. Now, as we look at this now, I said, simply speaking, we all have tasted, experienced the moral goodness of Yah. But Peter is emphasizing that we, the same as babies drinking milk, should grow to high levels of understanding because of that goodness that we've experienced. My granddaughter is here. You know, she's 2 months old. But at the same time, she's not going to be able to lay in somebody's lap all her life because she's expected to grow. And it's going to come a day when she's going to bite a hole in that nipple on that ball, and that's the sign that it's time for you to get off the ball. And that's one thing that, you know, they always taught us. They said when the baby boy always biting a hole in the nipple, it's time for them to be weaned from that ball now. They got teeth now. They biting a hole in the nipple. It's time to put some food in that mouth. It's time to put some meat in there now. Okay? So this is what Peter was saying. He's saying we all have tasted, experienced the moral goodness of Yah. But what he's really emphasizing is the same as babies drinking milk, we should grow to a higher level of understanding because of Yah's goodness. Yah didn't send his son just for us to come to the altar and learn the fundamental principle only that he died for us. It's more to it than that. We have to grow. We have to become G-race. He needs sons of Yah in the earth who can operate just like the Savior without limitations. But the only way that's going to take place is we have to grow. And it's not always comfortable, but it's something that we all have to do. It is necessary. It's vital. Here's why it's vital now. As we continue to read on now, did anyone have something to say? I thought somebody was trying to say something. As we read on now, Hebrews 5, verse 12 and 14 says this now. Paul says this, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles. First principles are fundamentals. Remember, I would say I learned through Miss Jackson the fundamental principles of football, or the fundamentals of football. So Paul is saying now, he says, okay, for the time, for when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles, fundamentals of the oracles of Yah, and I become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, mentally complete, spiritually mature. Even those who by reason of use, what? Use, meat. Use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. See, you have so many baby Christians that, you know, all they can do is discern what they think is good and then discern what they think is evil. And yet there are some evil things happening, but because they're still on milk, they cannot see these crazy things that's about to happen in the land or in our time frame. So simply speaking, from the understanding or to interpret this, these verses that Paul had commented on, Hebrews 5, verse 12 through 14. I said, simply speaking, Paul was saying that the saints had been professed believers in Jesus for so long that they should have been teachers themselves by now. There are people who've been in church so long, they should be teachers. You got some people say, man, I've been saved for 30 years. I've been saved 40 years. I've been saved 50 years. You know, my mom, you know, when she died, she was 94. She got saved when she was 13. I remember she said all the time. She got saved when she was 13. 81 years she was saved. 81 years from the perspective by which she understood. She said, okay, I got saved when I was 13. 81 years. That, you know, there were times when she was, you know, she would teach. I remember she would teach Sunday school when I was coming up. So I wanted to give us an understanding by using her for as that example. Paul was saying this. Now, he said, there comes a time when we all ought to be teachers. Each one of us should be teaching somebody. It's okay to come in here and be taught. I learn from you, you learn from me, but at the same time, somebody or all of us should be going forward and teaching babies. What are the babies? Somebody out there, for one reason or another, you know, that may not understand what you understand. You should have the understanding enough to be able to teach those people the principles by which you understand to cause them to grow. But see, the problem with what most church folks is they think that teaching has to do with them standing in front of the podium or being in some type of venue whereby they have an audience that has been, you know, designed through the perspective of a church service, instead of just saying, you know what, I am a teacher who is learning things right now, and what I learn, I have to grow enough and get to the point where I can go and teach what I have learned. Question, can you teach what you're hearing now? If not, it is necessary for each one of us to grow so that we can be able to do it. It's okay to reference to people who have understandings of things a little bit more than we do. You know, Adam and I kind of we bounce off of each other with information and pick each other's minds, you know, at different times and stuff like that. But I'd get highly upset with my son if every time it was time to explain the oracles of Yah, he had to come to me and said, Pastor, tell him what you told me. I'd be like, why are you sitting here, man? My desire is to impart information in you so that you can become a teacher and you can teach men to be the same G race that you now become, because you have an understanding and you're of full age and you're grown. Don't be sitting here coming to me every time you need to try to explain the principles of Yah. And that's not a bad thing, because we all are still learning. But what I'm saying is we got to grow to the point to where we should be able to teach somebody something that we understand. Why do we all take the notes that we do? Every time I'm teaching, we're writing, and we're taking notes and different things like that. And we review on those notes. And I know everybody don't understand all the information that you've covered. I constantly have to go over information to make sure that I'm getting it. But what I'm saying is, at some point in time, we should be able to grow and explain what we have been taught. Make sure everybody meets your phones. And so it's vitally important that we do that. So again, as I said, simply speaking, Paul was saying that he had been saying that the saints had been professed believers in Jesus for so long that they should have been teachers themselves by now. But instead, because of their refusal to grow, see, that's the problem. Church folks refuse to grow. So we want to keep calling Jesus Jesus instead of what we actually have learned his name to actually be, Yeshua. There are certain environments where I will say Jesus because I'm speaking to babes, and I don't want to start talking about Yeshua and confuse people, Yehoshua, and start confusing people because they're babes. And so I feed them Jesus for a minute, and then I slip Yehoshua in there. I feed them God for a minute, but then I slip Yah in there because I want them now to start to grow. They'd be like, okay, what's this Yah? What do you mean when you just said Yah? Who is Yah? Oh, that's his real name. What do you mean by Yehoshua? That's his real name. That's why, you know, the Bible talks about Joshua or Yehoshua. Jesus and Joshua have the same name. But if people refuse to grow, they can't link that information together so they can say, oh, his name is really Yehoshua, not Jesus. Jesus was put in there just like Easter was.
Hey, Lon.
Yeah, Brent.
You know, it's a poster board. It's kind of between Weatherford and Ranger, Texas. And they got it on a poster board. It says God's real name is Yehoshua.
His real name is what?
Yehoshua.
Yehoshua, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it says on. They got it on a big poster board.
Right. And so it's vitally important for us to grow and start to come up to those levels of understanding because when we start looking at things, you know, you got some Bibles who's taken and translated the Passover as Easter. In order to doctrinate us to not understand what the Passover really is, but to think that Easter is what the Bible is talking about when it deals with the Passover. So now you get people that start to celebrate from a paganism ritualistic mindset that Easter has to do with hunting Easter eggs and wearing your pretty pink dresses and your nice suits and you say your Easter speech and you do all those are fundamental principles that had its place at the time, but we should, because of our understanding, grow up from there and realize, wait a minute, this Easter is a Passover thing that they have indoctrinated us with, and because of that, we now need to grow and come to the knowledge of the truth. We need to realize that Christmas is not about buying presents and the Christmas tree and all this. But people don't like growth. So since they don't like growth, they be like, don't you mess with my Christmas tree. Man, that's all I've ever known. I've grown up with the Christmas tree. I've always gotten presents. So don't come messing with that. Leave it alone, because that's the fundamental principle by which I've known all my life. But y'all said, yeah, but they ain't going to get you where I want you, though. People hate growth. And he said, because of that, he said, instead, because of their refusal to grow, they needed to be taught over and over the fundamental principles of Christ, the fundamentals of Christ. People for generations and generations have been taught the fundamentals of Christ. Anytime you go to a church service at a specific time, you're going to always hear about Sunday morning when he rose up from the dead. On Sunday morning, folks shouting and having a pit and thorn, you know, crying and hollering, yes, Lord, and all that. The same dumb fundamental principles year after year. Christmas, the same old dumb message. Easter, the same old dumb message. all these different holidays, the same old dumb message. Halloween is coming up this month. So guess what the dumb, same old dumb message going to be? Hallelujah night. People don't want to grow. So they'd be like, well, all I've ever known is in order to kind of attack Halloween, then what we have is Hallelujah night. So we do the same old dumb stuff. We just said, we just put Jesus on the top of the cake. We need to grow. We need to draw a line in the sand and say, I have grown past these fundamental paganism things. It worked for a time because it got me to Yehoshua. It got me to him. It got me to Yah. It got me on the road that I am now, but since I'm on the road, I got to grow and get to the point now where I refuse to stay back there, so to speak. Now, look at what it says as I get ready to close now. But instead, because of their refusal to grow, they need to be taught over and over the fundamentals of Christ. Therefore, their laziness. See, people who don't grow are lazy. So when I was saying that I don't like change, what I was saying is I'm lazy. They say it all the time. I have learned now, I have grown to the point where y'all said, I ain't gonna let you get away with saying you hate change. Because in reality what you're really saying is you don't wanna grow in me. Which boils down to your laziness. And you know what the Bible says about the laziness. Laziness, it gives us examples as far as the ant is concerned. Lazy people end up being in want. That's why the church is in want right now. Because the church's laziness, I'm talking about the church as far as the body of Christ, so to speak, as a whole, or the so-called, that laziness now has caused the church to be in want. So the church has thought, based upon the fundamental principles, the rapture being one of them, that we're going to get out of here before all this stuff get too crazy. Now they're realizing stuff is crazy, and they're still here. So the fundamentals have left the so-called church in want. They don't know what to do now. Because they're like, Jesus should have come already. This is getting crazy. So therefore their laziness caused them to be classified as babes who had not grown at all. Thus the reason why they could not discern. Discern means estimate. The difference between morally good and wickedness. You have church folks don't know what's wicked. They can't discern between what's wicked and what's good. So the enemy can be, Satan can be sitting right in their faces and they cannot discern it because their senses have been dulled from a perspective of principles that they refuse to grow and to start eating meat. See, meat means maturity. Mentally complete. Y'all said, you know, let this mind that you have be Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Yehoshua. Let you have the same mind that he had. Because when you have that same mind, there is no limitation. But if all we do is have a mind that want to stick with what we learn. I learned that Jesus died on the cross with the T, and I'm sticking with that. I don't care what nobody say. Don't mess with my cross. It's around my neck. That's how I understood it. That's the way I've always understood it. Don't come messing with my cross. We refuse to grow. And because of that, we cannot discern, we cannot estimate the difference between good and morally good and wickedness. We can't figure it out. We don't know what's wicked. Now I have to use this for an example. I really hate to, but y'all dropped the thought in my mind, so I have to use it. When we can't discern between morally good and evil, we'll let someone come sit up in the church and kill us because we can't discern that the devil just walked in. What is the devil? An adversary. We have to realize, and that's the understanding that we're going to walk in when we operate over in the building that Yah is preparing for us right now. When we get over in there, we're gonna be a ministry that has discernment. You're not going to be able to just walk in there and sit down. We just go there, praise the Lord, because we think We think we now are adding to the church as far as growth is concerned. We want quality. There are people, there are things that's happening in the church because people cannot estimate what's evil and what's good, what's morally good. This guy sit in that church service for a specific amount of time before he carried out his plan. But because we or people could not discern or estimate that it was evil and only thought that it was good because he said our Bible study. Cost another life. We want to grow. We want to grow in every area of the kingdom so we can be everything that God has called us to be. We want to grow. It is necessary to grow. None of us can stay where we are. I have a lot of understanding, but I'm still seeking to grow on a daily basis. I'm looking to grow. Y'all deal with me. Take away from me what you don't want in me. I'm not perfect. Take away in me what you don't want in me. Manifest in me what you already put in me by taking away everything that doesn't belong in me. You give me everything I need, every anointing, every calling, everything that I need, you've already given to me. Now, Lord, make me, put me in a position, purge me, take away the things from me that's hindering me from being what I was born to be. Growth. We all got to grow. So, what I said in closing, I said, it amazes me of the number of babies who associate what I write with wickedness. Then I go on to say, words for today. Time to grow up, baby. We got to grow. We can't continue to operate in the same relationship with Yah as what we have today. Each one of you should have grown from this lesson. And when you walk out of here, it should be something that went on that taught us in a way that made us say, you know what, I'm growing. I have grown today. I'm dealing with the meat of the word. I'm dealing with a mature message. I'm not just sitting here saying to each one of you, you know Jesus loved you? John 3:16, you know he loved you. You know you the head and not the tail. You know he wants you to prosper in every area of your life. That's fundamental stuff. Time to explain how to prosper. The only way we can prosper is to cleave to Yah. But yet, week after week, we hear the same, and I say we from the perspective of the totality, looking at things as a whole. Week after week, you have people who hear the same old stuff that's been brought about with a different angle. They're still talking about how to get your money. They're just coming at it in a different angle. They're still trying to get your tithe. They're just coming at it with a different angle. No growth. Same old stuff. That's why I've gotten to the point to where even the conference that my own pastor has, I'm like, you know what? I get emails and letters and things like that, always encouraging us to come. But I'm like, you know what? I just don't have time for fundamental principles. Put the meat on the table, and you won't have to send me a letter. I'll break the door down. Feed me. I'm a big boy. I like meat. I like my brother-in-law. I like potatoes and steak. And feed me. Don't come put no doggone baby food on my plate. Put some meat on there. Give me some steak and potatoes and stuff. Feed me. If you ain't going to feed me, then you just get out of my way. I need to go find me somewhere to eat. I don't want no milk. I don't want no Similac. And I don't want no doggone baby food. Put some meat and potatoes on my plate. I'm a man. I'm full grown. And I want to eat that way. I encourage all of you as I get ready to close. We got to grow up. And we gotta grow up through accepting, and I know that we are, but we gotta teach men. So that's why I'm teaching you. You're here because you're saying, okay, I'm willing to sit down and get this here and get. But I'm now challenging you to say each one of you have got to take the things that I'm teaching, and you have got to go grab babies now and get them off the milk. You start them out and say, yeah, Jesus loves you. Don't disagree, but yeah, he loves you. Yeah, yeah. Once they got that, then you start pulling that nipple. You say, okay, you've been holding the nipple now. You got a little understanding now. That's grown now. Let me give you a little meat. We got to grow. As I get ready to close, you're going to run into people that refuse to do so. People run away from the things that I teach. Some people do. They run away from the things that I teach because they don't want to grow. There are some people that have access to listen to us or to listen to our service on a regular basis, but they refuse to do it. The bottom line is because they hate growth. They'd rather stay the same. And so they'll say, I don't want to listen to that wicked message, because in reality, what it's exposing is that their refusal to grow. They don't want to grow. So they said, the best way to be comfortable and to stay with what I'm accustomed to is not to give an ear so I can grow. But I guarantee if you give an ear, you're going to grow, even if it's just a little bit. All right, y'all got it? Now, any questions coming? Have you had anything? Okay, good. Okay. Anybody? Question, comment? Anything? All right, I'm going to go ahead and stop here. Father, y'all, we bless you for another facet of understanding, and we thank you that we are a ministry that has been ordained to teach men the truth. But we know in order for us to be able to effectively do it, we have to grow ourselves. We seek you to take all the things away that's necessary. Take all the things away that's necessary for us to grow. And we praise you in the name of Yehoshua. We do pray. Amen. All right. Before